Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to the Chronicles of Nannia, a nanny resource podcast made for nannies by me, a nanny. I'm your host, Martha Reddick, and this week we are going to be talking about alternatives to timeouts. And for that, I have my very dear friend and nanny extraordinaire. I just am so in love with your nannying style. Katie Leineke. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Martha. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm very well. I asked that, but we already had dinner together, so
we did.
Knew how she was.
And Katie did all my dishes.
Because I love to do dishes, and I love Martha.
I know, but it was so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
But anyway, alternatives to timeout. Before we get started, talking about that, I would love to hear a little bit about your background for new listeners.
Yes.
Although I will say you can go listen to a lot of old episodes. And Katie has been on many of them because she is a crowd favorite and a favorite of my heart.
Oh, thank you. I love being here. I always babysat when I was little, but I got started nannying in Chicago about, I guess, 6 years ago now. Which is strange to say out loud.
Right.
And I was nannying, and I was also acting at the time. I am no longer acting. And I found myself loving what I was doing with the children and not loving so much the acting part. And then the youngest of the child I was nannying for, the youngest child of the family I was nannying for, was going to kindergarten. And I was like, oh man, wouldn't it be awesome to always have a job when they go to kindergarten? And so I went to school, and I put myself through school to become a teacher, a preschool teacher. So I'm early childhood certified and educated, and I teach now from 8 to 2, and then I nanny from 2 to 6, although this is the summer, so I'm actually nannying 10-hour days for 5 days a week again.
Woohoo!
It's so good. I love it.
I know. I was telling Katie over dinner that I am back up to 10-hour days, and you just have to rebuild your stamina.
It's an endurance sport for sure.
It really is. It's and having both of them for 2 hours is just a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also great
because we
get to go on adventures.
It
and
is
I
nice.
Love adventures.
Yeah.
They're my favorite.
I know that about you.
But in those 10-hour days, especially you guys are, together all the time. They're with their siblings all the time. Discipline issues come up.
Yes. Nice segue. Loved
Thanks.
It.
I made it real smooth.
Sideways.
Like Jiffy peanut butter. But anyway, so when those do happen, we have had an episode about discipline.
Yes.
And if you have not listened to that, dear listener, then please go listen to that.
Yes.
Either pause this and go listen or listen to it right after this because there's a lot of really wonderful advice in that.
Yeah. I actually really love that episode. I'm not a timeout person. I don't think they work. But Andrea was your guest that week, and I loved pretty much every word that came out of her mouth. I thought she was awesome.
She's
done a couple
really
of
great
episodes
name.
With you, and she's very wise and very funny and smart. So give it a listen for sure.
Yes. But if you would like just another option, or you have found that timeouts are not effective mm-hmm. with your kiddo, then here are some alternatives to timeouts. Yes.
Okay. First, if it's okay with you, I'd like to talk a little bit about why I think timeouts don't work.
Yes.
And I sort of was guided this way in my schooling, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, there are a lot of strong emotions involved when a child is upset, where mm-hmm. you need a timeout for you as the nanny and also for the child. So that's one issue that's at play here. There's also when you're having strong emotions and someone's like, timeout, oftentimes there's a lack of understanding. The child's not quite sure what they did. Even if you think they know the rule, sometimes they're not quite sure what part was an infraction. They might
right.
need help knowing what it was. Third, it's actually a withdrawal of love and attention, which
mm-hmm.
is teaching the child that if they do something wrong, someone's going to leave them, which
right.
I get is that's the punishment. Like,
mm-hmm.
I get that. But that sort of makes for somewhat unhealthy adults or even adolescents.
We talked about in the boundary episode, which Katie was also on.
Yeah.
So if you have not listened to that, go listen to that because that has a lot of really good
right.
advice about talking more about what withdrawal of love
right.
means to a child and to an adult.
And it can mess with attachment style. If the child knows that you're going to leave them when they've done something bad, they're going to live their whole life bending over backwards pretty much to please other people, even when it makes them uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And while you want your child, we all want the same things for the children we raise and help raise. And we want the child to be kind and successful and happy, right?
Right.
And safe. And there are ways.
Safe. That is also a very key word here.
Yeah.
Is helping them make safe choices.
Right. Exactly. That's an important thing about timeouts that sort of doesn't sit well with me. And then lastly, you sort of end up with a warden prisoner dynamic going on. And I think I talked about it in the conflict episode. You know, little Timmy, when he scratches Susan, if you're like, timeout, Timmy's not like, I shouldn't have scratched Susan. That's a really, I don't know what I was thinking. Next time I won't. Timmy's sitting there. He's like, I'm going to scratch her again, and maybe I'll scratch you, and I'm going to be smarter this time, and you're not going to see me. Just wait until I get off this chair, because the child's mad because you've withdrawn yourself, and that hurts even worse. So I have found that timeouts can sometimes exacerbate issues.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage of a timeout, obviously, is it gives everybody a chance to cool down.
Right.
Especially the way some timeouts are run, where it's like you need to calm down
mm-hmm.
on the timeout chair. That is one of the advantages, but, I think there's a different way to do it. So
real quick story about the timeout chair. So when I personally was in preschool, they didn't call it a timeout chair. They called it
think about it.
No, sit and watch.
Ooh.
And so I started at gymnastics. Mm-hmm. I think it was gymnastics. Maybe mom will write me and correct me. but I started a new activity.
Yeah.
And it was my first day, and I was joining into a class that was already in progress.
Right.
And so they said, why don't you sit and watch? And I burst into tears because I thought I was in trouble because that's what my preschool called it.
Yes.
And so I was like, what did
they
I do?
Like,
it's the first day.
We broke this one. This one's broken. We need a new child.
Yeah. And so also be careful about what you call things.
Absolutely. Because it matters to children.
It does.
And as an adult, you have a lot of power, and wield it carefully, really,
mm-hmm.
is what's important here. And the other thing about that is when you're in a timeout, when you're not with the child, when they've done something wrong, or if they're in a sit and think about it chair or sit and watch chair, you're losing a chance to talk to the child about what went wrong, because the time you place between the incident and the discussion can be very hard to lose, because you need that time to be like, hey, what's going on? Because sometimes children are really upset and they can't honestly tell you what happened. When you're like, what happened? They're like, I don't know. You tell me. And you're like, okay, here's what I saw. What were you thinking when that happened? And anyways, but it's, it's an important time of learning, and you're actually, when you're taking a time out, you're kind of taking that time away that could be used as a learning tool. So
yeah.
That's why I think timeouts are not the route for me, and maybe for you as a listener. Some people are like, does that mean you can't say no to the child? Does that mean the child has free reign?
Right.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
That is not what that means. The child needs the boundaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which we also talked about extensively in the boundaries episode.
Yes.
That boundaries are so important.
Yes. It makes children feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So really it's about, step one is like, how can I prevent this behavior? Mm-hmm. Am I doing something that's making the child less successful?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the first alternative to timeout is looking around. Like if you have something, if you have like a bowl of candy on the counter and your problem is the kid keeps taking candy, maybe move the bowl of candy and
right.
help them be more successful. Sometimes there are other situations where a child is struggling to be successful. Maybe there's only one really coveted toy in the room, or if you're
mm-hmm.
in a nanny share, there are ways to help that. You can, not that you should always get a second toy, but you can supply things that help children in sticky spaces so that they're able to
or
interact.
Know that they set up a system where the child knows that it's going to be
right.
5 minutes
right.
with Charlie and then 5 minutes with Susie.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
things like that.
And let's basically like equip them with the tools
mm-hmm.
to talk about it. In the preschool classroom, we basically give them the script because I teach threes and fours, so they're real little. Like when
mm-hmm.
they come in the start of the year, some of them were like, they had just turned three.
Oh.
They were sweet, but it was an interesting,
yeah.
Cause I didn't expect them to be such little babies,
mm-hmm.
but,
we forget
to,
that
yeah.
just turned three
yeah.
is.
It's just, they literally just did it.
Yeah.
but they, we had to give them the words, and that's part of, a way to have an alternative to timeouts is to give your child a script to
mm-hmm.
say like, oh, well, we're upset. Okay, let's talk about what happened. Or you could say, oh, I see you want that toy. What can you say to
mm-hmm.
Martha? Like, Martha, I really wanted to use that microphone, and then you took it. So it might be as simple as, can I use that when you're done? And then they say, like, yes. Usually all children
right.
are like, yeah, you can use it when I'm done. And then,
but it's going to be a
yeah.
couple hours.
Well, and then the next question
right.
is, how many minutes?
Right.
And then the child can say, this helps if you're around for it.
Right.
Because they'll be like, 15. And you'll be like, choose 5 and under. Choose
yeah.
something between 5 and down. And then you're not ripping something away from the other child, first of all, because that's going to create a
mm-hmm.
rift in their social relationship. And secondly, the other child is learning. They're both learning the words you can say when you want something.
Right.
And they're learning that because you want something and or because I want something and you have it doesn't mean that we can't be friends. We can
right.
talk it through. Like,
yeah.
there's a way to resolve this that doesn't involve me hitting you or stealing it.
Mm-hmm.
So setting them up for success that way is a really powerful tool. That's sort of before the conflict happens, though. So there are things you can do after the conflict has already happened. One that I love is time in
mm-hmm.
or cool down time. And it's like basically a timeout, but you don't go away.
Right.
So instead of withdrawing your love, you say, okay, like, let's take some cool down time. They can read a book. You can read a book to them. They can take it alone if they want. You
mm-hmm.
can say, like, do you want me to come with you? And most of the time they say yes, because they are children who are dealing with emotions that are hard.
Right.
And they need someone to help them.
But I will say, when I work with older children
yeah.
and they are struggling with this, because I do the same thing,
yeah.
Is that they often will say, I would like some time in my
By
room.
Myself,
yeah,
yeah,
I would like some time.
Yeah, which is great
to think about
this. Because you're teaching them to advocate for what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, though, I'm an adult, and sometimes most of the time I want time by myself, but
yeah.
sometimes I'm like, I need someone to pull me out of this hole. I'm
yes.
in a bad mood.
No, and they always,
yeah.
I always say, we are going to have to talk about it.
Yeah, when you're done.
When
yeah.
you're, yeah.
yeah,
you let me know when
yeah.
you want to come talk about it.
And
but.
That's the advantage. So a time in, you get to be there. You help them calm down first, and then you can have like a guidance talk, which we go over in the conflict resolution episode.
Mm-hmm. So go listen to that.
You should. It'd be great. Which is basically like, hey, like what? Like listening to their side. A, also no one's wrong.
Right.
Listening to what they were thinking. And then from there, you sort of go like, what do you think we could do next time? Like,
mm-hmm.
I understand why you hit Steve, but I can't let you hit Steve because that's dangerous. You could, like, it hurts Steve. It's not good for you to hit people because then you learn something that is going to get you in trouble and you're going to hurt your friends and it'll be sad. So what do you think we could do instead? Mm-hmm. And then this is a good trick. You count to 20 in your head quietly by yourself and wait for them to come up with something. And pretend like you're thinking. Do some good
faces. But Katie, what if they immediately respond with, I don't know.
Then you could say, okay, well, let's think about it some more.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, you count to 20.
And like, oh. You can't see, but we're both making thinking faces.
Mm-hmm. We're looking awesome. Up.
Yeah. So maybe shake your head a little bit.
Squint to your eyes.
Put a finger to your lips. If you have a mustache, I don't know.
Yeah.
For the male nannies out there, just, like, you know, twirl your mustache.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, just pretend to think and maybe really do think. Oftentimes you actually know a good solution, so you maybe don't need to. And then you can throw out ideas. Nobody's wrong again. But if they're like, well, next time I could step on his toe, you'd be like, you could. But then that's then he could get hurt, and then that's the same thing. That's kind of like you hitting him. So let's keep thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then once they have thought of something that's acceptable and appropriate, you'd be like, you know what? That's a really great idea. Let's try that next time.
Yeah.
And then they have the tools. You've actually worked through the problem with them. You've helped them calm down, which is also a process that people need to learn. You don't, you're not born knowing how to learn or learn knowing how to calm down, just like you're not born knowing how to share.
Right.
You're not. You need to learn it.
In fact, evolutionarily, it makes no sense to share.
Yes, no, it makes no sense. It's part of what keeps a social society happy and comfortable. So, yeah, way back in evolution, it was not beneficial. Now it's beneficial.
So, although I've been listening to Sapiens, and they talked about how that transition from being alone to being together was huge.
It's important. It's hard, though.
It is. And each generation has to learn again. Yes,
absolutely. And adults even have to relearn it, too. And it's, I mean, I don't share well with things like my boyfriend. Like, I don't want to have, an additional book. Some people do, and that's great. Like, that's just not something I like to share.
But you're both clear on that.
Yeah. But also, like, allowing children to have things that maybe they don't need to share all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It'll also make them more willing if you don't rip it out of the child's hand. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes with the how many minutes, they'll be like 5 and you'll be like, cool, should I set a timer? And they're like, yeah. And then after like a minute, they're like, here you go.
Uh-huh.
Because you didn't make them hand it over.
Right.
And that gives them a chance to be successful there. I also will say redirect, even before your time ins and your cool downs. Today I did that. There was a little girl I was with. She was playing counter sliding, and I was like, you're not playing that in my head. That's the first thing I thought. That's the first thing I said. And so instead I was like, oh man, I thought about it. And I was like, oh, she's bored. She's waiting for me to cook her dinner. And so I was like, oh, I have a really hard job. I don't know if you can do it, but do you want to try it? And she's like, what is
nice.
It? And I was like, they're the sheets to the guest bed. They're down in the dryer. It's going to be so hard. Do you think you can take them out of the dryer and bring them up? It's okay if you can't. And you might not be able to because it's really, really difficult. And she was like, oh, I can do it. And then she like hopped off the counter and went downstairs very proudly.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can redirect, even if it's like we've had students before who love to drum on just everything.
Uh-huh.
So, and like usually they're drumming on loud things, but you're like, during circle time, you can drum on this pillow as much as you want. You can pat on the ground, on the carpet, you can pat on your legs. These are the places where you can drum.
Right.
So taking whatever the impulse is, if it's a safe impulse, and allowing them to do it, or if it's a safe impulse that they're doing in a not safe way, giving them the opportunity to do it safely because it's some kind of need that they're feeling in their body.
Right.
And so giving them a chance to do it in a way where it meets the need, but it also meets your needs for safety and order and, you know, like lack of general chaos.
Or just like headache.
Yeah.
Headache needs.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
A lot of rules get created, I think, for headache needs.
I swear. I think hide and seek is that.
Oh.
I discovered once I was hiding in a closet and they were looking for me and I was like, oh, this game was invented by grown-ups who want quiet time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always say I'm going to count to 60 to give you extra time, yeah. And that's so that I get to close my eyes for 60 seconds.
Beautiful. That's meeting your own need.
And I say, oh, really use this time to find a really, really good spot. I'm a
super good finder.
I'm so good at it. So I'm going to find you really quickly. But love it.
That's brilliant.
Like, don't hide in the first place you come to.
Yeah, no.
Go to the third place, yeah, you think.
Because that'll be the first place I come to as well. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. That's so funny. Very clever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's helpful. It's helpful.
It super is.
I love it. okay, so redirect, we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
This is my catchphrase. I use it with adults and I use it with children. tell me more.
Yes.
And it's different for adults than it is for children. But it's really just an information gathering experience, because a lot of times what you think might be intentional misbehavior is not actually that. And that, so I'm going to get into that. I hesitated because I used the phrase misbehavior.
Mm-hmm.
And in early childhood, we don't use that phrase. Oh, okay. We use mistaken behavior.
Okay.
And that helps you to think about why the child is acting the way the child is acting. Because most times, even if thinking about myself or yourself, listener, or Martha, you.
Or me.
Yeah. When we are acting out, usually it's because we have something going on,
mm-hmm,
that is not being met, like some kind of fear or sadness. Something's causing us to act out, mm-hmm, and we don't quite know what it is, or maybe we do. But it helps you to look for the need behind the behavior. So why is the child acting this way? There are three levels of mistaken behavior. The first one is called experimentation, and it's like,
uh-huh,
part of it is just like, oh, I wonder what happens if I put this broom out here right while Sally rides by on her bike. What will happen? And they really, there's no malice. They're just, yeah, curious, like, what will happen if I take this from my brother and stick it in the Lego bin and swish it all up, yeah, behind the Lego?
Which is such a great thing.
Yes.
And that curiosity,
yes, exactly,
is something that we foster all the time. And so,
yeah,
it is, I can totally see why they do that.
Of course. Well, and that's how they learn too. It's like you said, we want them to interact with the world. We want them to be hands-on. And so for things like that, make sure your reaction matches what,
yes,
happened. And if there's no malice involved, maybe a simple, like, you know, hey, like, that's unsafe, just so you know.
Right.
This is why. You just learned why.
Mm-hmm.
And then help them
after
to make...
you tend to Sally,
yeah,
who has flipped,
yeah,
over her bike handles.
And help them make it right with Sally.
Yeah.
Because that's a really important part about working through, like, a consequence, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You need to check on someone.
Mm-hmm.
Pause on the mistaken behavior. There are natural consequences and logical consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two types of consequences you should apply to the situation with children. Especially, I think always, but also with children mostly. So a natural consequence, I think we've talked about this before, haven't we?
I think
on the podcast?
On the boundaries episode,
okay.
I believe.
So like a natural consequence, if you're tilting your chair backwards and you fall over, I do not need to punish you. Gravity has punished you.
Mm-hmm.
We're good.
Mm-hmm.
I just be like, oh, I'm so sorry that happened. Oh, like stubbing your toe when you're jumping around, like,
right,
oh, that's happened to me. That's so bad. I don't need to punish you because,
right,
the laws of our earth have done that. And then a logical consequence is when you, like, okay, so you've colored on the table. I don't make you clean all the tables. I don't make you write, I won't color on the table.
Right.
I don't make you do the dishes. I don't put you on timeout. I don't, like, I do something that makes sense. The crime, quote,
mm-hmm,
unquote, has to fit the punishment.
Yeah.
So it's not really a punishment. You're actually giving the child a chance to make it right.
Yeah.
So, which is, wouldn't our society be so nice if people had to make things right instead of just, you know,
paying
got punished
money?
And, yeah, exactly.
Because that's what a lot of adults end up doing.
Yeah.
And I think that some of that stems from the childhood of you have to pay... Like, you don't get your allowance,
yeah,
or you have to pay so much.
Yeah.
To...
Exactly.
And there are logical consequences
that
of
to
having
with,
to
yeah,
pay for,
like,
things.
Oh, you broke the sprinkler. This,
right,
these are all from my real life.
Yeah.
you broke your dad's friend's sprinkler by using it too aggressively. This is not the child I nanny for, but another child.
Yeah.
Okay, so there goes your tooth fairy money.
Right.
Because
you
need
to
pay towards the sprinkler because you can't. You can't break other people's things and not help pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a logical consequence.
Right.
It makes sense to the child. It's easy to see the line between them. Because if you give them a punishment like, okay, scrub the floors, you pushed your brother, like, that makes no sense. The child does not understand. We're trying to teach them cause and effect, so right. You want it to make sense to the child.
And back to the repeating sentences, mm-hmm. ever since Harry Potter book 5 came out and Harry had to write and it bled, it made yes. his own hand bleed.
Yes.
That was enough for me to be like, oh, as a child, because I read it the year it came out, to be like, oh, this is a terrible punishment. I always knew it was, but
it
I was like,
no sense.
This doesn't make any
the
sense.
Child, again, the child is thinking of you as a warden. They're the prisoner, mm-hmm. and they're not learning from you.
Don't make yourself Professor Umbridge.
Yes, and no learning comes from, you can't learn if you're not in a loving, positive, warm relationship.
Right.
And if you're assigning discipline in a way that is not making sense to them and without love, mm-hmm. it's very hard for the child to actually gain any knowledge and make things right. And that should be part of the consequence process, is how do I make this right?
Mm-hmm.
So that goes into like not saying sorry, not being forced to say sorry, because children learn like, oh, I can just say sorry. And then I don't have uh-huh. to be sorry. I don't have to do anything. It's very cheap.
Right.
But when they have to think about somebody else, they have to use their empathy skills,
mm-hmm.
and they have to go, okay, well, what would I want if I had been hurt, if my friend stole my, I don't know, cheesecake and smushed it in the ground? What would I want? Maybe I would want a new piece of cheesecake, or maybe I would want a hug, or even sometimes we're like, why don't you ask your friend what would make them feel better?
Yeah.
Because nobody knows better than your friend.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that a lot. And that's another excellent alternative to timeouts, is like remedying the situation.
Right.
Unpause on mistaken behavior.
Okay, great.
Okay, so level one was experimentation. Level two is socially influenced. And that's where you get like, my brother pushes me and I'm going to push this person, or I've learned this word from my parents and now mm-hmm. I'm going to say this word, or superhero play comes in here. So mm-hmm. you see it a lot on playgrounds, or I'm sure all of you have seen it,
mm-hmm.
where they're like, hitting each other, and they're like, I'm Superman. And you're like, maybe we could all be superheroes together who fight an invisible enemy, which is a great redirection
yes.
of the desire to play superheroes, or just be like, you can play superheroes and supervillains, but you need to not touch each other's bodies.
Well, and something that I do, depending on the age of the child, but I talk about, because I am an actress, I talk about, you know what, in acting, we have fight choreography.
Yeah.
So we make it look like we're fighting.
Perfect. That's a great
But example. We never touch each other's body. And we start out really slow. And I'm like, so imagine that I pressed slow motion on your fight, and let's see how it looks without ever touching.
That's brilliant.
And then we like, and then I'm like, okay, now in acting, now we speed it up a little bit more
at a time.
And then I, gosh, it takes a while.
That's good.
That burns an afternoon.
You got 10-hour days now.
Yeah.
You gotta keep going.
Exactly.
That's
but
brilliant.
That
That's
and
a
then.
Idea.
And then I sometimes, depending on the age, but sometimes I show them like how to do one fight choreography move, like a real one, and or I teach them about the nap, which is the sound. Somebody else sometimes makes the nap, which is the sound
of being hit.
Sorry if anyone was falling asleep.
No, you're not.
If you're driving, you're welcome.
Nap to stop your nap.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you so much.
So funny. But anyway, and so I do some fight choreography with them and teach them about how we have to keep, like, your most important job as a fight choreographer or a fighter on stage is to keep your partner safe.
Yeah. Well, and that helps them think about the other person too, mm-hmm. which is really powerful. And you're teaching the child that they can handle this, that they can handle these special moves that build self-esteem, which
mm-hmm.
also helps them. When you're building self-esteem in a child, you're helping them to want to behave in a way where they're going to be positively and reinforced. Actually, Martha and I, when we were at dinner, we basically had these podcasts already.
We did.
Because we were talking about our own lives. But Martha was like, I'm just trying to catch them and positively reinforce, you know, and like, just like try to encourage them, even though some of the moments are few and far between. But yeah,
and like fireflies, catch them when you see them in the twilight.
Well, and that's good because it teaches the child that they're going to be recognized for these positive behaviors. Because the other thing is, sometimes you get into these negative behavior patterns where your primary interaction with the child is to redirect their negative behavior, and I say redirect, but I mean like punish or or admonish. And that actually teaches the child that to get attention, they need to like pinch someone or hit someone. So spending one-on-one time with each child is actually really important to sort of meet the needs before they need attention in a way that they seek it. That's not good for them or for you, for your sanity, or for any other children.
And that was something that as I was researching this, I read over and over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is like, if they are acting out, that is a signal to you that you need to put twice as much effort into spending time with them, making them feel valued.
Yeah.
And that is a signal that you should at least double your positive reinforcement.
They say you need two to every one. I've also heard three to every one positive to negative interactions to have a healthy relationship. Think about your bank account, friends. If you're only deducting, like if you're only doing the negative, you're going to end up in the red, you're going to end up overdrawn, and you can't, nobody wants to give you money, like, nobody wants to, like, help you in any ways, or, you know, but if you're constantly putting positive in, you have a lot when you need to withdraw something, because there is an infraction, if you will, or, like, something that's a big issue.
Right.
You can do some withdrawing, and the positive relationship is still there to work with. I actually listened to Martha's podcast, and I also listened to a relationship podcast, and they, it was really interesting. They were talking, I'm not married, but they talked about the marriage fitness program, and the idea of it was, instead of focusing on the negative that's happening in your relationship, instead of rehashing it and going over it over and over and over again, what you should actually do is pause that temporarily, build some healthy habits and good relationship over here. So you're establishing goodwill with that person or that child.
Right.
So that makes a lot of sense that they're like, build up your relationship before you try to teach. Because again, no learning happens outside of a positive, loving, warm relationship.
And anger physically changes our brain for like the time that you're angry. You cannot think rationally. And so just also keeping that in mind that if it is coming from a place of a tantrum, then until they have calmed down and feel safe, they literally can't understand the lesson you're trying to teach them, no matter how well you're imparting it. Timing is everything.
They
fight choreography.
Anger. And please keep each other safe. Even when you're angry. Anger is a secondary emotion. And it never comes first. It usually covers up something that is more troublesome to feel, right? Like more painful. Like sadness or embarrassment or fear or anxiety or not feeling good enough or just feeling
shame.
And so anger comes next because you're trying to protect yourself. And again, if you think about evolution, it keeps other people away from these sensitive spots. And so when you think about your nanny child who's having troubles or even your adult loved ones, this is good all around, friends. I often use the skills I learned to work with children on adults because we're all just big children. So, when you think about like, okay, what is really happening? What happened right before they got mad? Like what's the real need under here? You actually will go a really long way in resolving issues like you would never believe, so quickly, so kindly, full of love and affection. And that sort of is, so mistaken behavior number three is strong unmet needs. And those are usually like much stronger than you can handle on your own. Sometimes they're like childhood depression or childhood anxiety, and that's, or autism. You know, there's many things that need to be
fulfilled. Or if there's school age learning disabilities that have not been diagnosed yet.
And so you see that that's more serious. The third level is the most serious and you need to maybe get some other help involved. But when you think about it, they're all really some kind of unmet need. So thinking about it from that perspective helps you to be compassionate and loving. And that's another thing is like, just practice some empathy and try to think about how they're feeling, if they're feeling embarrassed in front of their friends. Because sometimes you've had a hard day at work, and if you come home to your loved ones, and they're like, you didn't do the dishes, and you didn't do the laundry, and why didn't you put your coat away? You just threw it on the floor. You're going to be like, I need you to get out of my face.
Right.
I love you, but go away, please.
Yeah.
And that's the same. Children have the same feelings. They have the same feelings and less skills than adults. So trying to think about it from that perspective and looking at them with love goes a really long way.
For sure.
Yeah.
Can you go over those three different tiers again?
Yes.
Just like
briefly.
Because we
I'm not broken up between.
We diatribe.
Yeah. So level one is experimentation, which is like no malice. They're just just testing it to see what happens. Like, what happens if I put soap in the pool?
Right.
Or, you know, all sorts of fun things. What happens if I put the cat in the dryer, which hopefully no one does. But, you know, they're just curious. Level two is socially influenced, and that, you know, that can come from parents, siblings, TV, friends. They could be being bullied and turning around and bullying somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, like, has to do with the interactions they're having somewhere else in their life. Level three is strong unmet needs that usually needs the assistance of a professional of some kind who can help out.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
My last thing, too, is tell them what they did right. So, so often we're like, and this goes for rules too, like no running, no yelling. Instead, you can be like walking feet. If you can phrase it in a positive way, you should, because we often tell children what they can't do, but then they're like, well, what can I do? Can I skip?
Right.
Can I jump? Can I hop? Can I, you know, like, please clarify what you want me to do. And so, if you're having trouble with children coloring on the walls, you can say like, markers are for paper.
Right.
Markers go on paper. And then they know, like, okay, that's where I put that. Or, like, gentle touches, friendly touches. If you can phrase it in a positive way, that helps the child actually know, because guess what? They're learning everything about the world. I just had a day with a little one, and she had sort of gotten into it with her dad right before he left for work.
Oh,
and then
the
she
worst.
Was, like, trying to salvage her dignity with anger and, like, fierceness. She was like, I don't care. And, and it's hard because as the caregiver, you're like, oh man, this is going to explode.
Right. And I'm here now for 10 hours.
It's going to be great. But her dad leaves. She kept it together. And then she's putting on sunscreen. And she just like, she just loses it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's interesting to find those moments and try to be like, it's okay. Like, I know you're frustrated. And, like, looking at what has happened, like, she's very good at telling me what she does or doesn't want to.
Yeah, but she's been working on this for a while.
Yes, for a long time. And giving them the ability to tell you how they want to be treated. You know, like, do you want me to stay? Do you want me to go? Like, let's cool down. There are lots of cool down techniques, too, that you can do that help children do some deep breathing so they're actually ready to listen to you when it's time to talk or when you just need them to cool down really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to learn those and have them in your tool bag and practice them so you, when the time comes, you can use them even though you're stressed out too.
I just got a Fitbit.
Yeah.
And my Fitbit does a breathing exercise.
Oh.
You can set it for 2 or 5 minutes.
That's awesome.
And I haven't used it with a kid yet, but I'm curious to see if, like, because it vibrates when you're supposed to either breathe out or breathe in.
That's awesome.
And it's really cool. And you can also, for the first...
It's like meditative.
It is. Yeah. It's a 2-minute, like, meditation. For the first 30 seconds, it actually shows you how you're breathing, which I don't know how it knows. I guess because of my blood. I don't know. I'm very curious about the science behind it. Yeah, magic.
Something like that.
And then you're supposed to breathe in, like, time with it.
Yeah.
And it really does
it calms you.
Work. And I'm interested to see... if it would work on a kid's wrist.
I bet it would.
I bet it would too.
Yeah. And also, I mean, there's even, they can breathe with you while you're wearing it.
That's true.
I do the 5 candles, and this is from an OT.
What is an OT?
It's an occupational therapist.
Thank you.
Is a person who helps children who maybe struggle socially, how to behave in groups or with their friends or like they do play therapy, and it's really helpful for the children to know what they can do and give them the tools. Like children who have trouble calming down. So this OT was like, I have 5 candles, blow them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you put up your fingers and the child blows, and at first they're like, And then you're like, really blow. It's a trick candle. They're like, and then they start breathing deeply. By the time they've blown out the candles, they're usually ready to talk. It's kind of magical.
Breathing is magical.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Yeah. Because I've been doing more yoga lately too. It just calms you down.
Yeah.
It centers you. You can think more clearly.
Absolutely.
Because your brain has more oxygen, exactly, and you also were quiet,
yeah,
and not trying to fix anything.
Yeah.
You were just focused on breathing,
yeah,
and gave your brain a break,
yeah,
for a minute,
yeah,
to like be like, I don't have to deal with this problem right now.
Absolutely,
I'm just focused on breathing.
Breathe.
And then when you come back to it,
absolutely,
you're better equipped.
And it keeps you from knee-jerking,
mm-hmm,
from having the knee-jerk reaction. And no one's perfect. You're never going to nail it 100% of the time. So give yourself a lot of grace, especially if you're trying to change the way you handle these situations with children, this discipline. You're all going to have knee-jerk. And we all have hot, like red-hot emotional triggers. And the kids, they know.
Mm-hmm.
They find them. They know.
Oh, they do.
Yeah. But modeling too, like when you're upset,
mm-hmm,
maybe being like, I need to do some deep breathing, like you could use your Fitbit, and that,
mm-hmm,
would be a great way for them to see, because they are little sponges and they do absorb what you do, which is both great and terrifying,
mm-hmm,
about them. So using that power for good and not for evil,
yep,
is a wonderful tool.
Yes, it is. Another thing just to add on is,
yeah,
I know a lot of times when these clashes happen,
mm-hmm,
and you are angry,
yeah,
like you as a nanny are feeling angry, there is sometimes this, we lose track of our own words.
Yes.
And sometimes we say things that we don't mean.
Mm-hmm.
And most nannies are in control, but
yep,
there's this area that I have caught myself,
mm-hmm,
doing in the past, which is labeling a child.
Yeah.
Especially something that seems perhaps harmless.
Yeah.
Like, you're a mess.
Yeah.
When they have gotten messy playing,
yeah,
outside or something like,
yeah,
that. And just shifting that language away from, gosh, you're a mess, to, wow, you got so messy.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Because I think that time between mistaken,
yeah,
behavior,
yeah,
and talking it out.
Yeah.
And when you've calmed down,
yeah,
it's such fertile ground for labels that you don't actually think about the consequences.
Absolutely.
Of.
Did you tell the Brene Brown story?
Yeah.
I was going to say, did we talk about it? So for a moment, I was like looking away from Martha, and I was like, I don't know if we talked about it.
No.
And then I was like, no, she said it on the podcast.
I did say it on the podcast, which is sometimes
so
how we have to talk.
Yeah. yeah, like labeling in early childhood education, they're like, labeling is disabling.
Yeah.
And it is. It's offensive. When someone tries to label you as an adult, you're like, what do you know about me?
Right.
Like, I'm sorry. I've been getting to know me for 28 years. So how dare you tell me what
so
I am or
get
am.
In line,
yeah,
in the back.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's so frustrating when you have someone who barely knows you, or even someone who knows you fairly well, to say something about you that you disagree with about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's very painful.
Yes.
And kind of arrogant, if I,
yes,
do say so myself.
Right.
But yeah, words mean a lot. And being able to, I have said once before, what was it? I was mad, and this is not a bright shining moment for me, so bear with me, friends. And I think crying is great, and I tell,
mm-hmm,
children, like, you know what's great about crying is, like, literally your stress hormones come out of your tears.
Yeah.
Fun fact, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always like, it's okay to cry, it's good for you, actually. Because your body's ridding yourself of that stress hormone. Because toxic stress is a real thing, and,
yeah,
it affects your brain development, actually. You can lose IQ points if,
wow,
you live in toxic stress constantly.
Hmm.
So we were, I don't remember now, it was a child and I, and we were, like, having some kind of a conflict. It wasn't a huge deal, but the child was, like, really ramping it up,
mm-hmm,
and I felt myself getting frustrated, and I was, like, I was setting a boundary,
mm-hmm,
and I said, like, I would be happy to talk about this with you, but I will not talk with you if you're screaming or crying. And then I said, I took a deep breath, and I was like, actually, that's not true. I won't talk to you if you're screaming, but mm-hmm. I will talk to you if you're crying. I'm sorry I said that.
Yeah.
Crying is good. But giving yourself space to go back and be like, you know what? I really screwed that one up, kid.
Right.
Like, and kids are so forgiving. So that's actually a really wonderful place to practice. They don't hold it against you.
And you're modeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you can say something and then realize that you misspoke.
Yes.
That misspeaking is a real thing.
Yeah.
And you can correct it.
And showing them love in those moments when...
Mm-hmm.
When you're mistaken or they're frustrated, goes a really long way. Today I saw, I picked two children up from camp, and this little one, who is not mine regularly, but I have babysat for before
mm-hmm.
many times and done weekend sits for, she has chew bracelets because she has some sensory needs.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost them on their field trip.
Oh,
and she's
no.
devastated. And this little girl that I also had, who I was with for the day, they're like best buds, like just best buds. And they've been trading off seats in my car because there's like a coveted seat, which is like the guest seat usually.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been trading off because we're carpooling. And it was the girl I'm usually with, it was her turn to pick. And they always choose the coveted seat when it's their turn. She was like, I was like, you guys have to remind me, whose turn is it today? And the little girl was like, well, it's my turn, but she can have that seat if she wants to. Which is so, it was like, I was like, that is the nicest
thing. Did you cry?
I almost would. Yeah, but it was really sweet. And it's something that we've been doing for a long time. When she's upset, I'm like, you know what, if you want, like anytime we're having like an issue where she's like frustrated and I'm like, I don't love that tone. Could you please change it?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I need a hug. Even if I'm like frustrated with her, I'm like, I have plenty of hugs for you.
Right.
I have a lot. I save them up all weekend when I'm gone, you know?
Yeah.
And then sort of resets the switch, because children need to know that you love them in the moments of conflict, because sometimes they don't know. They're just, if they're four, they're just 48 months old.
Mm-hmm.
They've only been on the planet for 48 months.
Yep.
Not that long, friends.
And that was another thing that I read is when you, in that moment, when you are like, oh, this would be a moment that I would give a timeout, but I'm trying something new, is one of the things you can try is right in that moment, offer a hug.
Yeah.
And offer is the key word there.
Yeah.
Do not force a hug.
Oh, yeah, never, ever.
Never, ever force a hug. But offering a hug.
Yeah.
And it in the article was like, this might seem counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Absolutely.
Because it
if you withdraw
connects
yourself,
you.
It usually ramps the child up.
Yes.
Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Where you're like, I'm mad and I'm going to the other room. They're like,
right.
You really lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, being there with them, that also shows them that love abides.
Mm-hmm.
And love will stay with you when it's not easy.
Right.
And that's something we should all learn.
Yes.
also, another fun fact over here. Sorry, I'm so dweeby.
No, I love it.
A 20-second hug will release oxytocin in the brain of
mm-hmm.
both participants if you're hugging. And that is enough. I've been counting recently.
Uh-huh.
So they learned that back. I was like, cool, let me see. And so I've been hugging people for 20 seconds and counting in my brain. Sometimes out loud if it's somebody who I've told it to. Like my parents, I went home for Father's Day and I was like, 1, 2, 3. And they were like, you're ridiculous. And you actually feel happier by the end of the 20 seconds. It's very surprising, but
mm-hmm.
it releases the bonding hormone, and it's another opportunity. Wouldn't it be nice to get closer in conflict instead of further away?
Mm-hmm.
I think so too.
Yeah,
like, mm-hmm.
for sure.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. Well, awesome. Any other thoughts? I mean,
I just love them, and think about how challenging whatever the situation. Just use your brain, friends, and
mm-hmm.
and there I. can understand timeouts. I have not always been a timeout free person, so I understand them. I think there's a compassionate way to use them.
Yes.
No judgment if you do, but I think that I have found these to be way more effective because they treat the underlying need, and also you're giving them the ability to handle things differently the next time. So you're preventing
mm-hmm.
it, which is really great. Then it's like you don't even have to give them the timeout because you've given them the skills to keep them out of timeout.
Right.
Which is also really powerful to do as well. So.
And go into each day assuming that everyone is going to try their best.
Yeah. Well, and that's that goes back to the tell me more.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times children will give you an answer and you'd be like, I don't really know how you got there. So if you withhold your yes or no, or that's right or that's wrong, go, tell me more. Sometimes they surprise you because their answer makes sense in their brain. They explain their thought process and you're like, okay, yeah, I see how you got there.
Right.
Or like, tell me more. And they're like, well, I wasn't trying to. I was trying to carry this there. And then, this happened. And then I got really frustrated. And it helps you to be more compassionate when you know more about what they're feeling.
Right. And to know the instigating moment.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we can miss that.
Yes. Yeah, and you're training them to be able to do that with spouses and coworkers and best friends and siblings and parents and, any bosses, any important relationship. You're training them to work through that. And I think most connection happens when you're open and when you're sharing what's happening with you. So you're helping them to know that it's safe to do that. And that, again, lays the groundwork for like, hey, mom, or hey, nanny, if you're still the nanny, I'm at a party and these kids are doing X, Y, and Z and I don't feel comfortable. Could you please pick me up? Or, hey, I was drinking and now I don't think I should drive. I know I shouldn't have done it. Can you please come and get me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's life-saving.
Yeah.
So if you can...
Literally.
Yes. If you can teach them now and reward them for honesty and, help them to engage with other humans in conflict in a way that's positive and get them closer to the other person instead of farther away. What a wonderful gift that you've given them to be a successful adult.
Totally. Yeah. I completely agree. I feel better. I feel like
I've
had
each other.
A 20-second hug. Well, wonderful. Well, if you have questions about alternatives to timeouts, or really anything, because Katie is an all-encompassing expert, I have found.
That's so nice of you.
Please write in to chroniclesofnania@gmail.com, and I will try to help, and then I will also forward it to Katie, and we will put our brains together. It'll be an excuse for us to hang out.
That's awesome.
And we always love those.
That's true.
And we will try to get your needs met.
Yeah, and also, if you have other ideas, please, we're always wanting to learn, or even if you disagree with something, we don't shy away from that.
No.
And we
conflict is good.
Yes, it is. And I love to hear more. Also, side note, Martha said that conflict is good because of the conflict resolution episode. And recently I've been marathon training, and that relationship podcast, one came on about conflict, and there have been a few before.
Mm-hmm.
And this one person said, basically what I've said is it helps you know where the problems are. And they're like, yeah, conflict's great, actually. It helps you know what you need to work on. And I was like, oh my God, I have to send this to Martha and show her.
Oh my gosh.
They covered the same topics that we did, but with adult relationships.
Yeah.
So it was really cool.
That is really cool. Yeah. I thought you were going to be like, and then I got to a really hard part in my run, and I was like, oh, conflict is good. Okay. It went in a different direction. Cool.
Surprise.
Anyway, we end each episode with a fun story or quote, and Katie has brought one.
Yes, very topical. This one day, it was a lunch that was particularly difficult with this child because the child was having, leftover meatloaf. We did leftovers 2 days a week in that family. And didn't love leftover meatloaf, but that was what that child had chosen. So that was what they were having. And they were done, and we were clearing our dishes, as we do. And the child put their foot on the trash can to open the lid, but their plate was right over the trash can.
Oh, no.
So they hit that firmly, as you do. The trash can lid hit the plate. The plate moved upwards like a swinging door almost. And it was totally hilarious and beautiful. It was like fireworks of meatloaf and green beans all over the kitchen. And I laughed, which was the wrong move. And I was like, okay, let's clean it up. And the child was like, no. And I was like, yeah, after we make a mess and clean it up, I was like, it's okay, you're not in trouble, but we do need to clean it up. And the child was like, you clean it up. You did it. Which, side note,
right?
Children will say, if they feel upset mm-hmm. and they feel bad about something they did, they will blame somebody else. Even right. though, like, we all saw that was you. I'm way over here at the sink, but because right. It makes them feel better to think that they didn't do that.
And sometimes they can bait you into arguing about that instead of.
That's true.
It is true.
Most of the time, it's like they're afraid of.
Yes.
Yeah, but also, yeah. If we can distract
older kids yeah. will try to because yeah, yeah. their redirections yeah, are smarter.
Smart. Deflecting.
Yeah, deflecting.
And I was like, actually I didn't do it. I was like, you can clean up, I'm happy to help you. And then this child was just like, no, I'm not. And like we were ratcheting it up every time. And at one point I was like, okay, I'm feeling really frustrated. I'm starting to get angry. And because we had been talking about cool down times, and I was like, I need a cool down time. I'm going to go into the other room, and I'm going to be in there, and I love you. I'm not mad at you, but I need to go in there because I don't want to say anything that's mean. And right. I can feel myself getting really upset, so I'm going to be in there. So I'm going to the other room, and this child is like wailing, had been wailing the whole time we were talking about this. The dog comes in, and this child stops wailing. Katie? And I was like, yes? And they were like, can I come in there too? And I was like, yes, of course. I would love for you to come in. And the child stops crying entirely, does not come in. And then like a minute goes by and I'm like, oh, okay, what's happening? Yeah. So I like stand up and the kid comes in and they're like, I cleaned it up. And it was like this amazing, it was so hilarious. The child loves hearing the story now. But it was funny to see that, like, I needed the calm down uh-huh. time. The child realized maybe they needed the calm down time. Mm-hmm. And when the child realized that I wasn't, like, ostracizing them, that they could right. come in, it was like, oh, okay, so I'll clean this up now. And I was yeah. like, what? It's amazing. It was so funny. Many parts. The fireworks of Meatloaf was amazing.
I hear opera in the background yes, when I imagine it.
It was like that. It was like it moved in slow motion.
Amazing. Yeah,
it was so beautiful.
Well, thank you, Katie.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This was wonderful.
Thank you.
As always. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week. The Chronicles of Nania is produced and hosted by Martha Reddick. Artwork by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nania and on Twitter at Nania Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnania@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.